the piano. And my grandmother, Muddy, would play the piano, my aunt would play the piano, and we cousins would sing, and there were a whole lot of us. And everybody would just kind of pick a part and join in. And I'd like to do a couple of songs now, Kathy and I would like to. And Do Lord, they told us to announce the songs, okay. Do Lord and This Little Light. And I would like you all, I would be very pleased if you'd just pick a part and join in.
Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Look away beyond the blue.
I've got a home in glory land.
I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Look away beyond the blue. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine
all around this world.
All around this world, I'm gonna let it shine. All around this world, I'm gonna let it shine. All around this world, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Going straight into 'Tis So Sweet. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, he'll be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more.
When the first settlers came over here, they brought their songs with them, songs of faith, songs that gave them the courage to continue even though the times were really, really hard. And there are some songs like this one, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. It was written, I guess, around the 1700s. It has both a Catholic tradition and a Protestant tradition. And it seems like the words are so powerful that everybody that heard it, if they did not know the tune, they at least wanted the words. This is the Protestant tradition tune.
The Prince of Glory died. My richest king I count but loss, and poor contempt on all my pride.
Well, they didn't have too many songbooks with all of the notes written down. So if somebody liked the words, they would write the words down, go back to their little villages, and forget what tune they did it to. So the people in the little towns in the Appalachian Mountains would put these words to some of their songs, and this is the same song to the tune of a little mountain melody. But on the other side of the mountain, they didn't know this tune. They knew their own tune. And I've got to admit, this one is my favorite. This is the same song. Now, before we did verses 1 and 2, this tune requires two verses to be linked together. And since we didn't practice much on verse 3, we're going to put verses 1 and 4 together. If you're following the song and...
We're so happy to be here with you today. We've been enjoying White Springs since the early 1960s, as our person who introduced us spoke to you, and we have just had such pleasure coming every year whenever we could come and having the music, hearing the music throughout the park, all of the wonderful events that we've enjoyed here over the years.
This is a song I think that everybody knows. One of the oldest songs over here. Nearer, my God, to thee.
Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee. E'en though it be a cross that raised.
Today, not to have the smoke that the performers had to sing through yesterday and that all of the visitors had to choke their way through while they were walking around hearing the different performers. We felt so sorry for the yesterday's performers with all of the smoke.
I'm sure you remember this one. I love to tell the story.
Tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing as
Trust and Obey, another one we grew up with.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust. To trust and obey. Not in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. To trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
This song was written by a gentleman from Ireland who came over here. While he was in Ireland, he became engaged to be married. And the night before their wedding, his young wife went swimming and was drowned. He immigrated here to this continent and devoted his life to reaching out to the poor. Then he fell in love again and was going to be married very shortly before the wedding. His wife-to-be became ill and passed away. You might think that all of this would embitter him in his faith or in his desire to reach out to people, but it was after that that he penned this song that I know everybody knows, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We're just going to do it through the guitar solo. Just through the guitar solo. Okay.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. To the Lord in prayer.
God bless you all.
Thank you.
That is Amy and Kathy singing their hearts out. Thank you. Our next performers are Aunt Peggy and Jay Smith, and they are storytellers and folk singers, entertaining audiences of all ages with folk tales, tall tales, jack tales, ballads, and play party songs sprinkled with history from their family traditions. They perform at schools, libraries, camps, national and state parks, including this one here. This is their 42nd consecutive year at the Florida Folk Festival. Quite impressive, I think, yes. They've also done showcases at the Philadelphia Folk Festival. I've been there. It's an incredible festival. The South Florida Folk Festival, which is one of our favorites down there in Broward County. The Barberville Jamboree, Rural Florida Folklife Days, and Fort Caroline National Park. Ladies and gentlemen, Aunt Peggy and Jay Smith.
Alligator haul and a panda squallow bud. Alligator haul and a panda squallow bud. Alligator haul and a panda squall. Black snake making for a hole in the wall. Oh bud, oh bud, oh bud. Of all of the animals in the world, I'd like to be a panda. I'd go out on a lonesome hill and cry for Susiana. Alligator holler and a panda squall, oh bud. Alligator holler and a panda squall, oh bud. Alligator holler and a panda squall. Black snake making for a hole in the wall, oh bud, oh bud, oh bud. Of all of the animals in the world, I'd be a Florida panda. I'd eat all the chicken in Jacksonville and turkeys in Atlanta. Alligator holler and a panda squall, oh bud. Alligator holler and a panda squall, oh bud. Alligator holler and a panda squall. Black snake making for a hole in the wall, oh bud, oh bud, oh bud. Thank you. Good morning to everybody. We're mighty happy to be back here in Florida Folk Festival again. It's always a highlight of our year to come over here and spend the wonderful weekend. That song about Florida pandas, they are very endangered, as everybody knows, very few left. But I learned that from my dad, who was born in 1900. And in his early years, there were plenty of panthers in Florida and up in Georgia and in South Carolina, where he grew up. When he was a baby, living in a little farmhouse out in the country outside of Bishopville, South Carolina, they didn't have screens in the windows, so if you opened the window to let air in, you just opened the window, and there was all the free air coming in and out. And one day, my grandmother, who was my father's mother, of course, stepped into the bedroom to check on the baby, and as she stepped in the bedroom, a panther jumped out the window. Fortunately, we don't have to put up with that. But things were a lot different 100 and 101 years ago. Even back in the 1500s, things were even more different. That's when the people from Europe decided they wanted to find another place to live, and they came to this country, came to North Florida. Even before Jamestown and before anybody on the Mayflower had even been born, Europeans came to North Florida looking for a place to settle.
And we never get credit for that. You always hear about the first people up there, up north. You never hear about Florida. Everything happened here first. It really did. It seems that back in 1564, a ship came over from France. The King of France decided they wanted to get a foothold in the New World. Because you see, back then, the Spanish claimed most of the New World. This was their New World. But France was not going to get left behind, so they loaded all these people on a little ship led by Laudonnière. Now, these people were French Huguenots. They were French people who wanted religious freedom. They were tired of the government telling them what church, how to worship God. So he loaded these French Huguenots in the ship, and they sailed. Earlier in 1562, Jean Rabaut arrived, finding a place where it would be a good place to start a colony. And he discovered this little place right up the road a piece, right at the mouth of the St. John's River. Now, he named that river the River of May because it was the first day of May. When his men landed, found where they wanted to start the colony a few years later, they got off the ship, and they knelt down, and they prayed. They gave thanks to God, and they sang hymns, thanking him for letting them arrive safely in this new world. They got back on their ship, and they went up north to Beaufort, South Carolina. Well, in 1564, when the French arrived, the Huguenots, they came on shore, and they were greeted by the Timucuan Indians. The Timucuan Indians were friendly because they had met Jean Rabaut, and they were expecting these other people. Now, when these Huguenots arrived, they brought artisans, musicians, lots of farm tools and supplies, but no farmers. No one knew how to farm. So they depended on the Indians to supply their food. They traded with the Timucuan Indians. They were friends. It was really great. They got along fine. But one day, the Indians began to get tired of supplying the food to the Huguenots. Now, in return, the Huguenots did help the Indians. They helped fight with the Indians some. But you get kind of tired after a year's work of doing all this. So the French Huguenots decided, if they're not going to give us any more corn, we'll have someone for ransom. So they kidnapped one of the chiefs. And in return, they would give the chief back for more corn, more grain. Fine. When they took the chief into the village, they got their corn back. But on the way back, they were attacked, and the Indians took the chief back and the corn. Forgot to tell you this, though. When the Huguenots built their little colony, it was called Fort Caroline in the honor of the King of France. Now, this was up in Jacksonville. It lasted for about a year. Well, now, since they had, the food was really running low, they were just packing up, getting ready to go back to France, when Jean Rabaut returned with more supplies. They unloaded everything, and his ships were left out in the ocean, just anchored. In the meantime, Spain had found out about the French living here. They sent Pedro Menendez over to get Fort Caroline. He attacked those ships, but they got away. Well, Menendez says, well, we'll just go on down south a little bit and come back later and get Fort Caroline, because a hurricane was coming around. They sailed on down into a little cove, and that later became, Bay of the Dolphins. They unloaded everything, and that was the beginning of St. Augustine in 1565, after we had been here a while. So they marched up a little bit later after the hurricane came, attacked Fort Caroline, took it over, and left it alone. They didn't use it for anything. A few years later, folks began migrating down south into Florida. And they landed found a little place up over near what we call Jacksonville. At that time, it was called Cow Ford, presented by Isaiah Hart. It was called Cow Ford because at low tide, the farmers could move their cattle from one side of the river to the other without having to worry about swimming over. They would just walk across. This was great. And people began living there and building, carrying on. It was a very dense place. It had a lot of brush growing there. And as it grew, tales began coming out about the people who lived there. One story goes of one of the fellows who lived there was coming home from choir practice one night when there was a lot of action going on in a bush. All of a sudden, a bear came out and chased him home from choir practice. Now, this happened downtown where Jacksonville is today. Now, back in those days, of course, there were no cars, no electricity, and no hard roads to ride on. And people had to entertain themselves. There were no televisions, of course, and no radios. And music, dancing, was a very big part of the entertainment. And the games, they played games.
Sometimes they were musical games, like this one. Old Pump is dead and in his grave, in his grave, in his grave. Old Pump is dead and in his grave, hee-hi-ho. There grew an old apple tree over his head, over his head, over his head. There grew an old apple tree over his head, hee-hi-ho. The apples grew ripe and began to fall, began to fall, began to fall. The apples grew ripe and began to fall, hee-hi-ho. Came an old woman a-picking them up, picking them up, picking them up. There came an old woman a-picking them up, hee-hi-ho. Old Poppy jumped up and he gave her a thump, gave her a thump, gave her a thump. Old Poppy jumped up and he gave her a thump, hee-hi-ho. She went away with a hippity-bump, hippity-bump, hippity-bump. She went away with a hippity-bump, hee-hi-ho.
And of course the game is explanatory. You can see how the game would go. The children would do this. And it was fun. They didn't need television. Like sometimes when we go into schools, I'll tell the students, I'll say, we didn't have television when we grew up. One little hand goes up, Aunt Peggy, how did you survive? I said, we listened to the radio. We used our imagination, which is what is lacking a lot today. They don't have time for imagination.
Talk to me.
Talk about you.
Talk to me.
Well, in Jacksonville, we had a big fire in 1901. It burned quite a few blocks, and quite a few people lost their lives. And we had an example of that yesterday. I have never been that close to this heat, to the fire, the smoke. And while the smoke was going on, I could imagine these people who had taken everything they could out of their homes. They were running down the streets of Jacksonville, and the fire would be right behind them, licking at their heels. One man was bringing an organ out of his house. It was the only thing he could save. And he had the fire was right on him, and he had to drop it. And there's a story of a young man who kept going back into homes, bringing out people to help them, to keep them from burning up. He saved many people that way. And then after the fire was over, his body was found floating in the St. John's River. It was a very bad time, and yesterday really brought that bad home to me.
Well, the first store in Jacksonville, when it got to be a big enough place for people to feel like they could make a profit on having a store, was started by Dawson and Buckles store. And people, so many those days, lived in the country. There wasn't much of a town there. They grew crops for their vegetables. They raised animals for their meat. And you don't get much of a paycheck when you have that kind of a job. So when they would come in town to get the goods they needed, cloth or other types of goods that they couldn't raise themselves, they might have to resort to bartering, swapping. So they would bring in some eggs or some hens to swap to Mr. Dawson or Mr. Buckles for the goods they needed. Swapping was a big deal back then. When I was a young man, I lived by myself. All the bread and cheese I got to put upon the shelf. Rats and the mice, they gave me such a life. Had to go to Jacksonville to get myself a wife. Road so long and the street so narrow, I had to take her home in an old wheelbarrow. Wheelbarrow broke, we took a fall. Down came wheelbarrow, wife and all. Swapped my wheelbarrow and I got myself a horse. Then I could ride from cross to cross. Swapped my horse and I got me a mare. Then I could ride from here to there. Swapped my mare and I got me a cow.
In that trade I just learned how, swapped my cow and I got me a calf. In that trade I just lost half, swapped my calf and I got me a pig. Didn't cost much cause it wasn't very big, swapped my pig and I got me a dog. In that trade I lost one hog, swapped my dog and I got me a goat. Gave more milk than I could tote, swapped my goat and I got me a sheep. Counted it till I went to sleep, swapped my sheep and I got me a cat. What in the world do you think of that? Now me and the cat, we live in a house. Never see a rat, I never see a mouse. If the rats and the mice, they give you such a life, better get a kitty cat along with your wife.
That's the way, thank you. That's the way that song really ends, but I thought of another way to end it. Swapped my cat and I got a rhinoceros. Got a rhinoceros, that's preposterous.
Thank you so much. And y'all have a good time at the festival and just eat it up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aunt Peggy and Jay Smith. Yeah, thank you. Now we're going to shift gears here on the main stage and give you some dance ensembles. So now we can say, and now for something completely different. Coming up here is the Wako Kai dance troupe, and I'm going to introduce to you Dr. Deanna Godwin, who's going to come MC and introduce the dances. Dr. Godwin?
Well, I really appreciate y'all being out here in the hot noonday sun, and I'd like to introduce to you some very dear friends of mine. This group is led by Kazuko Law, we call her Kay, and she's a former Folklife Heritage Award winner and has been a great force in preserving Japanese heritage and traditions in Florida. Among her dancers, which are called Wako Kai and who come from Gulf Breeze, Florida and Pensacola, Florida, are Raiko Forrest, Etsuko Morrison, and Pat Bush. These ladies practice 6 hours a week to bring this form of dance to you. We're going to start out our performance of Wako Kai today with a presentation of a semi-classical, which is to say slightly modernized, Japanese dance called Sakura Sakura. And if there's any one dance that anyone's familiar with, it's probably this one. It's a cherry blossom dance, and it celebrates the coming of spring. And so now I present to you Kay Law and Wako Kai. Japanese dance is very symbolic. It's really a form of moving storytelling, and it has many elements of folklore Japanese legends and tradition that are integral to the dance itself. All the costumes are meaningful in their own way, and in the next dance, which is called Kojo, the ladies are going to be wearing hakama, which are a type of divided skirt that are worn by men. In this dance, they're going to be taking a male role with very masculine steps, very strong and forceful. And I would like for you to look at the difference between the dance that you just saw, which was very flowing and feminine, and the masculine steps of Kojo. Kojo is a story that has to do with the remembrance of things past, the longing and regret for things that are lost. Kojo means an old ruined castle. And this story, these people are visiting the castle and they're thinking about the grand past and the way that it was. This story harks back to the period of Japan, which was called the Warring State Period. The Warring State Period, the great samurai clans were fighting against each other, and many of the great castles of the Japanese families were destroyed and left in ruins, just a shadow of their former glory. In this dance, these ladies will act out this role of the people returning to look at the fragments of their past. So take a look at the male steps and the posture in this dance, Kojo. I'm not sure if they're quite ready yet. Takes a while to put those hakamas on. Those of you who are familiar with martial arts may be aware of the martial art of kendo or aikido. And in both of these martial arts, kendo is the art of Japanese sword play, and aikido is a 20th century martial art defensive that was developed from the old Japanese budo. They wear these hakamas, and so I was in aikido, or still work out in aikido, for about 30 years. It takes me about 20 minutes to get my hakama on, but these ladies are a lot more adept than I am, so they should be out here shortly. They're wearing a very formal version of the hakama, which is a black sateen. Normally, in the martial arts, for example, you wear a very durable, almost like a black or navy blue canvas hakama. They're wrapped several times around the middle, and as in many Japanese clothing forms, they provide quite a bit of support for your back. But they're quite a bit different from the kimonos that we are used to seeing on Japanese women, and that is because they are taking the masculine role. Let me peek back and see how these hakamas are doing. Well, they are a lot faster than I am because I think they're just about ready. So I'm presenting Wako Kai once again with the dance Kojo, remembering in the old ruins of the castle.
Wakurabaya, ya. kawa ao koken shite ojo yo hitori nani shinobu tatadumi ureba
Thank you very much. Really glad you appreciate this. We've got a little bit of a break coming up until they get ready for their next dance. They have to do a little bit more of a costume change. But I'd like to tell you all a little bit about how I came to know Kay Law. She's been a wonderful inspiration to me because she's a lady that really makes an effort to educate other people about other cultures. And I think that's something very important here in the United States today. And I was on the Folklife Council for 6 years, and I felt like there was a complete lack of any Asian participation. So I frequented this Oriental grocery store to get my Thai chili sauce, and I walked in one day, and I said, you know any ladies that are Filipino or Korean or Japanese that dance? And this fellow said, yeah, I sure do. So I tracked her down, and that was quite a long time ago, I think about 7 years. And we kind of adopted each other, so I travel with them and try to explain their dances to folks. And I've really been impressed with these ladies and their dedication. They appear at schools and festivals, nursing homes, and all sorts of events, and do travel widely. Sometimes they travel as far away as Tennessee to make presentations at colleges up there. The dance itself, I never realized how meaningful it was. All I know is the first time I ever saw it, I thought, that is one of the most beautiful things that I've ever seen. And, of course, I love the kimonos and the movements. And as I continued to know these ladies and get to know them better, I realized how deep this tradition was and how much it means and how easily it's appreciated.
Hi, sweetheart.
Okay. And this is one of the granddaughters here telling us that they are ready. So I'm going to announce this dance. It's Nani Bushi Dayo Jense Daiwa. And this is a very special dance that I think that you'll very much enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the fine audience, and y'all have a good day at the Florida Folklife Festival.
They're early. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Wako Kai Dance Ensemble. Yeah. And now we're going to bring to you the Greenwood Morris Dance Ensemble. They're going to be doing traditional English dancing, like 400 years old dancing. So I'm going to get the stage set up here. The Greenwood Morris Dance Ensemble, and I'm going to have Cindy is going to be doing their announcing and letting you know what exactly it is they're up to. And they're not ready yet, so I'm going to tell you about this festival that's coming up in June. It's in the Daytona area, so if you like to frequent the Daytona area, there is a band shell, literally a band shell on the water, and the citizens of Daytona decided it needed to be renovated and preserved. And then the citizens who had it renovated and preserved said, now what are we going to do with this? And they formed an organization called Friends of the Band Shell, and they produce a concert series that goes on through the year, including the hot months of June and July. And they have a festival there called the Florida American Festival. It starts right after this festival is over. So if you have festival fever, you can go on over to Daytona. The flyers are a salmon color flyer like this. You can find them up at the Foth booth up there. There is a myriad of performers. Some of them have been performing here already. The Ashley Gang will be there, Patchwork, Endless Highway. There's blues and gospel happening in July. It's just too many for me to talk about right now, but it's a wonderful festival. It is free to the public. So free is good. If you want to know more about Friends of the Bandshell and their concert series and their festival, please go get a flyer from the Foth booth up there. Are we ready? Ladies and gentlemen, the Greenwood Morris Dance Ensemble. And this is Cindy, who's going to be their spokesperson.
Hello, Florida Folk Festival. We're Greenwood Morris from Gainesville, Florida, and this is our first appearance here at the Florida Folk Festival. It's also the first appearance of a Morris dancing team at all at the Florida Folk Festival, so you're all in for a treat. And rather than describe to you too much about what Morris dancing is, just sit back and enjoy the show. It is originally a form of English folk dancing, and that's probably all you need to know. We're going to do six dances for you today. The first one is called Much Windlock, and it's from a village called Much Windlock in the English Cotswolds. Well, actually, it's closer to the Welsh border. Each of the dances that we do hail from a particular village and there are particular traditions, so we're going to give you a wide variety in these six dances we'll show you. And now we present the Much Windlock Stick Dance. Thank you. right, the next dance we're going to do is a handkerchief dance, and it's called Highland Mary by the tune of the same name. And the particular Highland Mary dance that we do comes from a village called Bampton.
The musician has a lot of power here. Yeah. Here the second part repeats twice.
You can see it's good physical exercise. Our next dance is called the Upton on Severn Stick Dance. And it's from a village called Upton on Severn.
Where did they get these names?
Thank you.
Canada. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Our next dance that we're going to present is actually a jig for two, and it's called the Nutting Girl. It comes from the village of Bampton. If you look closely at the handkerchief movements, or the hand movements rather, sorry, no handkerchiefs, it'll look like nuts being thrown in the air. That's what we think. Okay, and now the Nutting Girl.
Okay, slowish. Okay, mediumish. Compassionate.
Thank you.
Thanks. A good hand for our two most energetic members there. Woohoo! Go, guys. And for our excellent musicians, Rich, Vic, and what's your name over there?
Aiden.
Oh, yeah, Jen. Okay, we've got two more dances to do. We're going to do them back to back because the final dance in a Morris dancing set is very traditionally just you go straight into it and you go off of the stage, if we're dancing on a stage. So the first dance we're going to do is called Haste to the Wedding, and it comes from a town called Brackley near Cambridge? Between Northampton and Oxford, my British member tells me. Okay, and then the dance right after that is called Bonnie Green Garters. So, without further ado.
Thank you. I'd like to especially thank my guitar player here. He has never played these tunes before. Anyway, give him a big hand. Mr. Vic Cole.
I know.
Stand up now.